Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for October the 20th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour one of two. And without further ado, he was with us last Tuesday on Brighty on TV Live. He's with us this morning for only a couple of quick minutes. General Flynn, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Hi, Sam. Thanks for having me on, and I appreciate all you guys are doing to continue to promote the idea of our liberties and our freedoms across this country.
Now, you've been crisscrossing the nation traveling. You got a tight travel schedule today. You're going to be in Salt Lake City this weekend at the Salt Palace WeekendAct.net conference. Vote fraud, really, of all the different things that are going on in America, seems to be one of the biggest ones. And I'll tell you why. One of the things that makes us all equal in America is that we all have a vote. We all have a say in the proper role of a constitutional government. That they're trying to steal from us.
Yeah, that's happened. And I actually don't call it voter fraud because it's not the voters' problem. It's actually in our entire election system and election process and the integrity of our election, which makes us all equal, the sanctity of our election and our ability to vote, the privilege that we have to vote, is the one thing that makes us all equal on the given day of an election. And so what we witnessed in spades here, this last presidential election on 3 November of 2020 was a complete fraudulent activity. And it's actually, Sam, something that's been going on for over 100 years, and it's unacceptable. We should not accept it. It just so happens that it happened at the presidential level. Everybody knows it. Everybody realizes it. Now it's a matter of, you know, we're in this sort of battle to go through what I call this lawfare act of war that we were involved in, and we're back, you know, in the courts battling this thing out. And it's just incredible how much backlash we get when we talk about, you know, election fraud or election integrity, and you're a conspiracy theory or something, theorist or something like that. So one of the things that's going to happen this weekend in Salt Lake City, the Weekend Act event, gets some great speakers that are, I think, that are still confirmed. You're going to have a bunch of people from a bunch of state senators from Arizona. I think Sonny Borelli, Senator Wendy Rogers. You're going to have Joey Gilbert out of Nevada. Myself, Dr. Simone Gold, who's both a lawyer and a doctor, who's going to talk about some of the COVID craziness that we're experiencing. And, of course, myself, Patrick Byrne, and others. And the whole idea is to make sure that we continue to rally people in this country to be able to get the message out of basically what is happening around the country for those of us that are deeply involved in some of these different aspects of what is happening, mainly the theft of our liberties by an administration operating out of the White House, who we all know is, you know, they're moving as quickly as they can to basically gain control of the population by making us all silent and turning us into a bunch of sheep. So we can't have that. That's my big message, Sam, for all your listeners, is local action has a national impact. Get involved in your communities like you've never been involved in your communities. If you do nothing more than get involved in your school boards and get active in your local schools. And I don't care if you have kids in school or not. We're all taxpayers, and our education system at the lowest level is horrendous right now. Everybody sees it around the country. Never mind all of these people, these first line people, these immediate first responders, both firemen, law enforcement, teachers, nurses, doctors, who are being thrown out of work, even though a year ago everybody was a hero, right? Now they're being thrown out of work because they won't get this madness jab that we now know the jab is killing more people than it's not. So, you know, all you got to do is look at the data that comes from our own government. So I want people to wake up. I want people to understand that what it is that we're involved in, and I want people to get involved in their communities like they've never been involved in before. So I just want to, you know, say to all those folks, we're going to be out at Salt Lake City this weekend. I think Friday, I arrive on Friday and be there actually Thursday night, Friday, and be there part of Saturday. And I know we've got a great lineup and a great message that's going to be that's going to resonate like we've been doing around the country with a lot of our other Reawaken America tours. So thank you very much for having me on for just a few minutes to talk to your great audience.
Now, your speech is going to be about election integrity, 10 indisputable facts on the 2020 election that argue for audits, right?
Right. I will be out there talking about the kinds of things that are the evidence that we have that are indisputable, and maybe what you can do is post the I'll send it to you. I'll post the article on your website that I wrote on some number of months ago that describe in detail these 10 indisputable facts that we have discovered from and they're indisputable. You cannot argue them. They're fact based, and they're outrageous when you read it and you say to yourself, "Oh my God, how did we get here? We got here because America has been asleep at the switch, and we've taken our freedoms for granted." Maybe not everybody, but certainly the majority of people have taken our freedoms and basic things for granted, mainly our election process and our election system. We should not accept one ounce of fraud, never mind, you know, 1,000 pounds of it. And so, it happened to our country. We have a way to work through it, but we have to get directly involved, and now's the time.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, General Flynn. We know you got to fly. WeekendAct.net is the conference, ladies and gentlemen. This weekend, get your tickets now. Put in the keyword Liberty, all capital letters, and you'll get $50 off every ticket. We want you there in person, but if you just can't make it, there are streaming options available now. General Flynn will be there as one of the keynote speakers, doing a phenomenal job breaking this down. And, you know, they call it election fraud, vote fraud. He's right about this, ladies and gentlemen, in terms of it's not vote fraud. The voters aren't responsible. It is criminal activity going on to disenfranchise all of us. And there are 10 indisputable facts to help us resolve those things. Thank you, General Flynn. We know you got to fly. These issues are important, ladies and gentlemen. And when he doubles down on election integrity, 10 indisputable facts on the 2020 election, here's what he says. And this is what I really like about this. He says that argue for audits. So he's basically saying, listen, this is something we have to look into. This is something we have to document. This is something we have to audit. Because in every state, in every municipality, in every jurisdiction, in every precinct, ladies and gentlemen, there's different, slightly different things going on. Yes, there's some common threads across all. We need to return to paper ballots if we really want the truth. We need to return to true vote watchers with transparency and accountability. We need to have these people swear under the oath of penalty and under oath and or penalty of perjury, etc., that they've done their very best to count as accurately as possible. There's ways, precinct by precinct, across this great country to truly have vote accountability, is what I like to call it. Some would say vote integrity, but to me it's accountability that's key. Okay, whenever something goes wrong, who's responsible? Who's accountable? Is it on a precinct basis? Do you have the totals that have been sworn to by affidavit under the penalty of perjury? Do you have, okay, these are the things we need to get back to if we really want accountability, folks. And this is serious. And General Flynn only had a couple of minutes to spend with us today. He's jumping on a plane, so he's just got to fly. But we appreciate him coming on quickly and highlighting what his speech will be about, confirming that he will be at the Salt Palace in Salt Lake City, doubling down for election integrity. Isn't that exciting? That, you know what, this has been going on for a long time, as General Flynn pointed out, but you know what? Now people are speaking out about it. So at first glance, you might think, oh man, everything is just totally broken. Wow. My response is kind of like the principle of repentance. You know, when it's hidden sin, that's when it's the worst, when it's continued and hidden. When you finally wake up and smell a coffee or you know, hear the music or whatever you want to call it, it might seem like things are worse, but things are actually better because you're starting to be on the road to recovery. First is to acknowledge the problem, right? Hey, we got vote irregularities across the country. 10 irrefutable facts that beg for an audit, if you will. General Flynn will break that down, folks. Now, the fact that we're aware of it, the fact that we're acknowledging it, the fact that now we're saying, hey, let's document it and do something about it. Now that is getting somewhere, right? Yeah, you're on your way to repentance or change or growth, transparency, accountability. That's what we want to see. Anyway, great job, General Flynn. Thank you so much. He's super busy, but he did take the time to jump on the radio with us, and we really appreciate that. A quick recap of yesterday's show. We talked about the Liberty Conference, of course. We've been doing so for several days on the radio now. We talked to our guest, Dr. Paul Gooch. He's for medical integrity. Do you see a theme here, ladies and gentlemen? We want integrity, whether it be election integrity, medical integrity. We just want integrity everywhere, right? Anyway, we talked about Paul Gooch, doctor. He's an eye doctor. And we talked about his loves, including raising a family, training mules, dabbling in politics. All those three things are really intense, right? But then he flies powered parachutes as well. Southwestvision.com is his website as a doctor. But I bring this up because what a well-rounded guy. And that's what we really need in America is well-rounded people that are not fringe, that are not kooks, that are not extreme, but people who say, hey, you know what? I'm going to make a difference, and I'm going to stand up for accountability. You're violating my rights of conscience when you force me to wear masks or be mandated. And so Dr. Paul Gooch literally pushed back and said, not on my watch, not for my business. We need more of that, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you right now, he'll be a speaker at the WeCanAct.net conference this weekend as well. We talked about fully vaccinated Colin Powell died due to complications of COVID-19. He was being cared for at Walter Reed, of all places. Wow. Liberty Roundtable live.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, hard-hitting talk on your radio. General Flynn was just with us. Coming up in minutes, Patrick Byrne. We the people demand immediate action and accountability. The America Project is what Patrick has been with. And you know what? I've known Patrick, or known of Patrick, for quite some time. It's a long story, but he's a big business guy, too. So we'll talk to him about that some. AmericaProject.com is the website for Patrick Byrne's and crew. Anyway, we'll get into that as the broadcast continues to unfold. 43,000 people in the UK, I guess, received wrong COVID-19 test results. They were told they were negative, but they were really positive, ladies and gentlemen. That's a serious problem. Just imagine 43,000 people running around thinking, I'm not... infectious. What kind of repercussions or damage that'll have as they just run around and get everybody sick. I mean, it's a disaster. And it's all because the testing tools are completely bogus. They can't tell you how much antibodies your body needs to be protected. They can't really reliably tell you if you're infected or not. You know, these guys say, oh, you're negative when you're positive. We've also got all kinds of false positive tests because of the PCR cycles or whatever you want to call them or whatever. If it's ratcheted where it runs too many cycles, it gives all kinds of false positives. That's according to Dr. Anthony Fauci, not me, ladies and gentlemen. So there you have that reality check. It's just crazy town, man. We talked about a Pfizer whistleblower that steps forward and documents emails to Project Veritas. James O'Keefe and crew doing a great job. They're using aborted fetal cells for vaccines. Jack Davis with the Western Journal breaks that down for you, where bottom line is the company knows they've been using fetal cells. They're so vague and manipulative about it that it's hard to tell exactly what the tie is in the current vaccine. But make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, they're downplaying the role of the fetal cells in the vaccines and related to the production and creation of vaccinations to the point where we can't trust them. Even the employees said it just made me sick. Now the whistleblowers are starting to stand up telling the truth. Those of us who said, I don't want to take aborted fetal cells. I don't want to participate in the death culture. That's why I don't want your toxic vaccines. Well, that's a reason a lot of people are giving, and they're justified in that because we're gaining more and more intel, truth-telling, if you will, that you know what? There are fetal cells in relation to the production and the creation of these vaccines. How much, where, how, who? We don't know exactly, but we know they got caught downplaying it, and they've been caught in so many ways, it isn't even funny. All right, on the second hour of Liberty Roundtable Live yesterday, of course, we were on brighteon.tv. That's brighteon.tv, simulcasting Liberty Roundtable Live for the second hour. We had the guest on. Our guest was Mel Kay. At heart, Mel Kay is a lover of truth, justice, and freedom. She's a voracious reader. She has an insatiable appetite for uncovering and sharing the truth. Mel Kay is highly determined to educate the public, ladies and gentlemen, on exactly what's really going on. She's known for her common sense approach to research rooted in truth and facts. TheMelKayShow.com if you want to learn more about her work. She does a tremendous job, ladies and gentlemen. We also talked about the Nebraska Attorney General, doctors can prescribe ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine for COVID. The Nebraska Attorney General continues and says evidence lacking that such actions would warrant any discipline of doctors. Bob Unruh with the piece, good for the Nebraska Attorney General, saying, hey, you know what? A lot of this stuff is experimental that they're doing right now in relation to the COVID. Why rule out ivermectin? Why rule out some of these other medications when you can say, well, they're not proven. Neither are your vaccines. Neither are the other drugs you're trying to bring to the table. The same manufacturer that creates ivermectin is one of the manufacturers now trying to get approval for a drug for the COVID. Of course, at a lot more money. Instead of, you know, $20 a dose or $20 per prescription, it's more like, I don't know, $700-$800 per prescription, something like that. It's out of control, ladies and gentlemen. Anyway, second hour archives. If you want to watch that show, the second hour at brighteon.tv, and we're still working on a way to get the audio of that recorded and put it up. Where you'll be able to listen to it on radio, second hour of Liberty Roundtable Live as well. So that's happening. It's. I know you think it's easy. It's like, Sam, just record it. Yeah, it's a little harder than that, ladies and gentlemen, because there's all kinds of delays involved. You can't run that hour back on radio because they start at 00. Our radio starts at 5 after because of the news at the top of the hour, so you get a 5-minute offset right there. then the TV ends at about, you know, 50 or 55. It kind of varies there a little bit. So I've got to do the rest of the show or else you get dead air at the end of the hour for several minutes. They don't take their breaks oftentimes at exactly 30 after the hour, so you can't run the bottom of the hour news. Anyway, I don't mean to complain about it. I just want you to understand that there's anomalies and differences between the two broadcasts, if you will, that are kind of making it very difficult to set everything up that would make sense. I got an interesting, shocking bit of highlight for you on the supply chain fiasco. Listen to this reality check, ladies and gentlemen. Are you ready? Wanted, says the headline in mainstream press newspapers. 80,000 truck drivers to help fix the supply chain. Truck drivers, believe it or not, in America, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you know this, move 71% of the U.S. economy's goods and services. Did you know that? And you say, wow, 71%. That's right. What moves the rest, Sam? Trains and other, transportation. But truckers do 71% of the U.S. economy's goods. But you know what? They represent just 4% of the vehicles on the roads. So think about that. They move 71% of the United States goods, but they're only 4% of the vehicles on the roads. And they say if nothing is done, ladies and gentlemen, the latest figures put the industry on track for a shortage of truck drivers of 160,000 drivers by 2030. Now listen to this. Then it explodes. The need for 1 million new truck drivers over the next 10 years will be expected. That's according to the American Trucking Association. Now, wow, that number's startling. And I bring it up because this is serious business. Now, there's all kinds of information about how California is, for environmental reasons, ruling out a lot of trucks. So a lot of the independent truck drivers aren't able to provide service. I think that's all true. I think that's a serious concern indeed. But, you know, this is serious. And we need truck drivers. And so right now you got to be 21 to drive a truck across state lines. They're thinking about changing that to 18, saying there's thousands of truck drivers that could be, coming out of high school ready to drive truck. And we're kind of isolating them from that career because by the time they wait till they're 21, they've already started on a career path that's outside of trucking, if you will. So there's a lot of changes necessary. But this trucking issue has been really an issue for quite some time. As they try to promote trade with Canada and Mexico, they've had all kinds of trucking scenarios where Canadian trucks or Mexican trucks can just roll across the border and do whatever. And that was a big threat for a long time. Chuck Harder and others used to talk about that back in the day. Now we've got kind of the opposite problem, which is we don't have enough truckers. What are we going to do? And in my opinion, again, are you going to force all your truckers to be vaccinated? Because we're just getting this scenario where all it's kind of like the perfect storm or whatever. All trails lead to this crisis that we're experiencing. Well, you can't be, drive across truck or state lines unless you're 21. You can't use your own independent truck because it's not, quote, environmentally friendly enough. You got to buy a new vehicle, which most truckers simply cannot afford. It's a rough life being a trucker. You're on the road all the time away from your wife and children or your, husband and children if you're a female trucker or whatever. I mean, it's a very difficult situation. There could be all kinds of ways to make a difference. In other words, you could have a situation where truck drivers would drive 200 or 300 miles each direction from their home so that they could maybe be one night on the road, just not night after night after night. You could have organizations of truckers pass trucks along from one set of drivers to the next, keeping people closer to home. There's a lot of ways that you could skin that cat, but man, we're going to have 1 million truckers needed within 10 years. That is shocking. Supply chain problems will continue. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Families and survivors of a 2018 mass shooting at a high school in Parkland, Florida, reached a $25 million settlement in their lawsuit against Broward County School District Monday. The settlement comes after the school district won a state Supreme Court ruling that could have capped the total damages at $300,000 without approval from the legislature. North Korea military fired at least one ballistic missile into the sea off its east coast on Tuesday. Pyongyang's latest missile launch happened hours after U.S. officials emphasized their commitment to restart negotiations on North Korea's nuclear weapons program. The University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill can continue admissions process based on skin color. A federal judge ruled on Monday. The nonprofit Students for Fair Admissions vowed to appeal the judge's ruling. The Bills and Titans Monday Night Football had Tennessee coming away with a narrow 34-31 victory. USA Radio News.
If your family depends on your income and something happened to you, what would happen to them? You need life insurance, and SelectQuote can help you get it at a price you can afford.
SelectQuote found Jacob, 40, who's in excellent health, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $19 a month.
Not in perfect health? Don't worry.
SelectQuote found Tanya, 40, who has type 2 diabetes, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for only $32 a month.
We shop companies like Protective, Prudential, American General, and others to find you the company with the best rates. Give your family the security they need at a price you can afford.
For your free quote, call 1-800-885-0303. That's 1-885-0303. Or go to selectquote.com. That's 1-800-885-0303.
SelectQuote. We shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policies at selectquote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Washington State University announced Monday that head coach Nick Rolovich, the highest-paid state employee, and four assistant coaches were fired for not complying with the state's COVID-19 vaccine demand. After Dr. Anthony Fauci said college football games were going to be super spreaders for COVID, he was wrong again. Brad Bernards reports.
Dr. Anthony Fauci warned that crowded college football stadiums would turn into super spreader events. But many weeks later, an NBC reporter on the Today Show pointed out it never happened. Epidemiologist Cindy Prinz.
We prefer to learn by studying, but I'd say in this case, we probably learned a little bit by doing as well. So it's not a matter of trying to keep people from doing activities. It really is a matter of trying to figure out, you know, can these be done safely?
Cases are now in steep decline in every college football state across the South, including Florida, where hospitalizations fell 64% last month, even as some 90,000 fans packed the University of Florida Gators Stadium.
We are USA Radio News.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Patrick Byrne with me. He's one of the founders of Overstock. Now he's I don't know what you call it, a philanthropist. He's a man dedicated to the sacred cause of liberty. Patrick Byrne, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Sam, great to be speaking to you again. As you remember, we actually met one some years ago.
Yeah, that's right. There's so much on the table to discuss when it comes to the Weekend Act Conference coming up this weekend. I know you'll be one of the speakers at that. And you're promoting the America Project, right?
Yes, sir, the America Project, which is something Mike Flynn and I started back in May, and it's basically grandiose as it sounds, the organization we think we hope to save the country. And it's an organization. So anyway, the America Project, yeah.
It's just americaproject.com, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, so people can learn about that, but at the core, the center of this, really is election integrity, right?
Yes, sir. Our main events now are election integrity and COVID-19. Those are our two main lines of effort. But I've been on election integrity since last August, which is to say before the election. There was an inkling that something was coming, and to be honest, I was actually asked to get involved in this issue and support this issue. And so anyway, I did. And I'm convinced that we have an enormous election integrity problem in the United States. It's a big myth that we don't. But we're also working on the COVID-19 medical tyranny issue, which is, I think, the two are not unrelated.
Yes, we'll get into that in just a second. When it comes to vote fraud, the interesting thing is it used to be Democrats were the ones that were pointing out all of the vote fraud and voter integrity problems. Now they're silent, but they were pitching that big time, and you can catch them at their statements if you're good enough to pay attention, right?
Well, no one's ever accused them of being consistent or rational. Consistency is something that comes when you're rational, and because the universe is self-rational. And but since they're not rational, generally they don't have any need for consistency.
You know, the American people are a little bit torn on this because they know something's wrong, Patrick, but they can't connect the dots. And every time we try to connect the dots, we try to go to court, they won't even give us a hearing. They just say you don't have any standing, or they shut it down. You literally had, 20 states almost saying, hey, we want to gather together. There's a problem here with changing all these rules with elections because of the COVID. That's part of the reason they're so related. But this is an issue where most Americans, they know something's wrong, but they're struggling to connect the dots, right?
Yes. Yeah, they are struggling to connect the dots. I'm speaking, as you know, this Friday in Salt Lake City. What I'm going to do is focus on connecting the dots. But the problem is they have such information dominance and they're losing, and so they baffle you with BS. There's a really simple way to see it. There's a simple way to see it. There are six cities in the United States, six counties. There are 3,030 counties, but there are six counties that have a special property. And that property is they are the anchor counties of swing states. For example, in Clark County, Nevada, which is to say Las Vegas, 2/3 of all the votes are Nevada or in that one place. So it turns out that if you don't have to have widespread election fraud to steal the United States, you need to have deep election fraud in six places. And it's those six counties. It's Las Vegas, Phoenix, Milwaukee, Detroit, Philly, and Atlanta. And on election night, on November 3rd, something odd happened that had never happened in American history before. What was that, Sam, during the, odd happened on election night?
Well, one of the biggest things they did is when they knew Donald Trump was ahead in so many areas, all of a sudden, they just shut it all down, supposedly, right?
Right. Yeah. And where did they shut? And they had in one place, they had a water main broke. We had a stadium, the arena is going to be flooded. And, it turned out later there was like a urinal had overflowed the previous day. So there was really nothing. But they evacuated everyone in the middle of the counting for 3 hours. And they had a different excuse in each of the six places. But what are the six cities where the water mains broke and then this happened and then that happened? What are the six cities? They are Las Vegas and Phoenix and Milwaukee, Detroit, Philly, and Atlanta. Is that a coincidence? That's either a remarkable coincidence or there's some significance to that. For most people, you can kind of stop that the light bulb goes off. You follow me?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And then you look into, what's really gone on for, I've known about election fraud. And by the way, Sam, I use the phrase election fraud because voter fraud makes it sound like we're accusing a bunch of individuals out there in the cities of being dirty players or something. And I don't think they're the problem. This isn't that the individual voters out there are cheating so much. This is that there's a small number of people who've figured out really an industrial cheat. It used to be you have a few hundred dead people vote in a city and there's that. But there's also levels that are stealing like 5,000 votes. And we think there are ways you can steal several hundred thousand votes or more. And although you suppress and stuff, they're doing two things. They're suppressing votes they don't like and stuffing votes they want. So that's been theorized for many years. And within the halls of academia and political scientists, I can tell you, have debated this question of how much fraud is there. Well, anyway, and so I say election fraud rather than voter fraud, because it's not about the voters. It's about the machine. It's about the I'm not talking about the physical machinery.
The voters are the ones being defrauded, right?
Yeah. It happens after you vote. It's after the voters vote. And it was kind of odd. And about in 03 or 04, I happened to, within a year of each other, I had conversations with a Democratic activist and a Republican activist who told me two different things. The Democrat told me about how in Kentucky, do you know how the Republicans cheat in Kentucky and Tennessee? And she told me this story about how they have like an ink pad in their pocket and they work in the precinct. And if you walk up and you look like a Democrat, they, you know, they rub their, some ink on their finger inside their pocket and you can't see. And then they take the piece of paper and they smudge it in a certain place and they know that will cancel your vote. And she told me that. And, but a Republican within a year of that was telling me about how Philly worked. And Philly, you know, they told me about goons kind of just blocking people while they open up machines and add 400 votes of one party, kind of this kind of stuff. So I thought that vote, and I had the impression it was 1 or 2%, and it cut both ways. That's what I, if you had asked me 5 years ago, that's what I would have said. It's probably 1 or 2%. It cuts both ways. And in politics in America, since the game is really played between the 45-yard lines, if somebody has a 1 or 2% advantage, that's significant. What we have learned, for the first time in American history, there's been a deep audit. Maricopa County, Arizona. There's been an audit. There's been a canvas. There's been an audit. There's been an audit of the machines. There's been an audit of the ballots. We know what they're doing. And it turns out to be 15 to 20%. It's 300 to 400,000 questionable votes. That's an example of how their information dominance has actually reached a point where there's now just a news blackout on the truth about what was found in Maricopa. What was found in Maricopa was that there are 284,000 ballots that the images were corrupted, so we can't tell if they're... Secondly, if the count on them was correct. Secondly, there's 255,000 ballots that just showed up on a machine without any of the precursor machines that they should have come through. So how about those? There's 57,000 illegal ballots. There's 34,000 photocopies. There's this, there's that, you know, and all these add up to be, and there's double counting, but they all add up into the multiple hundreds of thousands in a place where 2 million votes were cast. So you're talking about 15 to 20% of the vote in Maricopa is either being suppressed or it's being stuffed. That's what, you know, the press being, you know, the what it really shows is if you, but if you count all those 400,000 questionable and illegal and ballots, Biden still wins by 10,000. And the press, being who they are, say, or else maybe they're reading comprehension challenge, they say, you see, this shows that Biden still won by 10,000. No, it says, if you, I mean, it's our point is that you have to count 400,000 dodgy ballots, somewhere between 57,000 illegal ballots and as many as maybe 400,000 or more manufactured ballots to show Biden winning by 10,000. But the but there's just a news blackout on that truth. Would you
but
not agree?
But the good news is, ladies and gentlemen, even with a news blackout, the new media is taking center stage. He who owns the media does make the rules. They used to be able to, for years and years and years, just flat out gatekeep, shut us down, and nobody really knew. Now we realize the problem. We're exposing the problem. And ladies and gentlemen, even according to the latest mainstream polls, 61.4% of likely voters believe election integrity issues affected the outcome of the 2020 election, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Now, that's huge when it comes to the U.S. presidential election, because President Trump said it, they mocked him, but now more Americans agree with Trump. Patrick?
You know, it's worse than that, Sam. Another way, another 10% say they're unsure. So that really 10% and 72%, that leaves only 28% of Americans will say they think Joe Biden was elected legitimately without fraud. Only 28% hold that point of view. That really puts a crimp in their plans, I hope.
Yeah, there's a gimp in the get-along when it comes to the mainstream press and their lies. They're getting caught at every turn, ladies and gentlemen. The truth shall make us free. Patrick Byrne with me, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the We Can Act conference coming up this weekend. He's one of the speakers. WeCanAct.net. Put in keyword, all caps, liberty, and get $50 off every ticket. Quick pause. Patrick Byrne continues in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit to PreserveTheNation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Overstock founder Patrick Byrne, now standing for Election Integrity, American Project, or I'm sorry, AmericaProject.com to learn more about the incredible work going on there. General Flynn and Patrick Byrne worked on this project, and it's huge. Patrick will be speaking about it, the Week in Act conference coming up this weekend, Friday and Saturday. WeekinAct.net, put in the keyword Liberty and get $50 off every ticket. We want you there in person, if at all possible. If you can't make it, there are streaming options at WeekinAct.net as well. So, Patrick, you mentioned that not only 61% in this poll believe, hey, you know what? There's integrity issues that affected the outcome of the presidential election for 2020, just as Trump called it, just as we felt like was going to happen, happened. But then there's 10% that are saying, you know what, I'm not even sure. It's just so crazy. That's literally 7 out of 10 plus. That is huge,
well,
sir.
It's 72%. 72% or 7 out of 10 plus. So another way to say that is only 28%. 2.8 out of 10, less than 3 out of 10 will say they believe Biden won, President Biden won fairly. I want to emphasize, though, as blood boiling as I know this makes for some people, I am never advocating anything but legal due process to resolve this issue. No violence. They want us to go violence. If they go violence, they get to bring all the weight of the state to crush us, and no one's going to be opening up ballot boxes anywhere. Don't go violent. But people, the truth of Maricopa is setting in, and they've lost control of the narrative. They're down to 28% of people who are buying the mainstream, you know, the party line. So, but I see peaceful ways through this, and I'm all
as I
say,
the new media is taking center stage, ladies and gentlemen, and that's why we're getting the word out from Brighty on TV to Liberty Roundtable Live. I mean, there's so much good happening. Patrick Byrne's one of the people at the center of all of it. Now, I want to mention this. That's why I always teach we don't want a revolution. We want a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth, Patrick.
Yeah, what's happened is I think that we've been looted financially, and I think that a big financial reset is coming. I've always wondered, all my life, my father was an actuary, and he gave me sort of this sense of insurance companies running on a sound basis, or you can kind of cheat and show a better profit now, but eventually you're leaving this pothole in your business. And I came to understand the U.S. government that way, and I wondered how people could be so supportive of a country clearly not being run on a sustainable financial basis. And now I understand why. I always thought, how could the left be in favor of this program and that, and everything? Nothing pays for itself. Everything is just borrowed from the future. How can they think about treating the future that way? Someday the future is going to go show up. Well, now I understand the plan. The plan was collapse the system, and then the totalitarians will emerge out of the rubble. That's been the lefty totalitarian plan all along. And don't forget, and I like to remind people of this, there was a young socialist in Italy in 1910. He was the editor of the Socialist magazine, which was called Avanti. He's a hardcore socialist. He fought, unlike most socialists, but some fought. He fought and came back with this had the same socialist idea on how to structure society. None of that had changed. He had just a new tinge to it, that only we who were blighted in battle deserved to set the future. And he invented this new form of socialism called fascism. His name was Mussolini, Benito Mussolini. Mussolini arose out of the left. Well, that's what's happening here. It took them 90 years to collapse us, but we are reaching this financial reset. The question is, do we want to emerge as America again, stripped of the flaws and stripped of the things that got us into that problem, or do we want to emerge as the United Socialist States of America? And I think they only know one way to do it. They don't even understand there is a second freedom-minded way to do it, to save America. But I am sorry to say, I think there is going to be a financial collapse. And they use that as the way. They can cause it any day they want. They just stop buying the government debt at the Federal Reserve. Everything will collapse. So they hold that over the heads of society. If they really do start to lose control, they're going to push that button, I'm afraid. But that's why we have to get the truth out first. And I think that they have been so discredited, I don't know if they can go to the kind of totalitarian society they had envisioned, because who's going to walk? I think even the military has shown signs of understanding. They can't follow.
Well, let me say it this way. They've been trying to get tyranny since Cain killed Abel, and they ain't got it yet, and they're not going to get it on our watch, Patrick.
They've been trying to get what?
And they've been trying to get global tyranny since Cain killed Abel.
Yeah, right.
And they've never got it yet, and they're not going to get it on our watch.
Well, I'm afraid it's coming down to the final showdown. This is if it snuffs out here, it gets snuffed out for the world. All the freedom-oriented countries in the world look to us. Everyone will have to make their own deal with China. If it gets snuffed out here, it's snuffed out for the world. Last time this happened, it was darkness fell for 1,000 years, incidentally. So our generation finally has its moment. We've all complained about, or we've all noticed, and how soft we got versus our grandfathers. I don't know how old you are. I'm 58. I knew the grandfathers of most of your listeners.
I'm only 54. I'm just a kid.
Oh, you're a kid. Well, I know what made them. I'm right on the cusp of one thing and another. Boomer. I'm at the last months, 4 months of the boomer before you get to whatever comes after a boomer. I don't even know that marketing stuff anymore. Anyway,
we're Generation Take America Back, sir. That's who we are.
Yeah, well, right on. They just need to be reminded. I wouldn't say the younger generation has forgotten the American values, but they need to be reminded. They don't need to be taught them, but they need to be reminded. And it's kind of, but I understand where they're coming from. They've inherited a terrible world that my generation and older created for them. You know, do you have 60 seconds, I can give you the lowdown on the history of the United States in 60 seconds.
Yes, sir.
Or the last century, what really happened.
Please.
It used to be Washington didn't have so much power, so there was not much point in having lobbyists. There wasn't anything that people could do. Starting about 90 years ago, Washington started having a lot more power, and that's because, Roosevelt, but Hoover before him in the last days of Hoover broke, started creating a much bigger federal government because they thought they needed it to manage the economy. That much bigger federal government, it got very profitable for people to set up, to lobby, to spill special favors its way. So we all found ways to sort of organize lobbies. Our Americans found ways to organize lobbies to basically write checks on other people's account. And by that, I mean the steel industry lobby gets a tariff against imported steel. Well, that wipes out the shipbuilders of America because the shipbuilders need a lot of steel. So they just didn't buy the right lobbyists. So everything became not about how good your product was, but who you lobby in Washington. That we looted each other until we understood the game well enough to stop each other. And it was really about 1980 that society had organized the game well enough that we all were organized into groups that we couldn't write checks on each other's bank accounts anymore. So we found one group that we could write checks on their bank accounts, and that was the group of future human beings. And in one way or another, from the environment to the welfare state, to the Social Security, Medicare and Medicaid, to anything, to the national debt, we have written checks on the bank accounts of future people. And lo and behold, those future people showed up. and life sucks for them. You know, the average person turning 65 today who lives out their days, they will have, by the time they die, Social Security will have given them $70,000 more than they paid in. The average guy, but the 22-year-old getting out of college over the course of his lifetime will pay $450,000 more into Social Security than he can get it, than he will expect to get out of it, imagining it all holds together. So it's turned into this huge wealth transfer from the future to the present. Well, really, from the present to the past.
And this was all made possible, ladies and gentlemen, by the government allowing a Ponzi scheme known as the Social Security system to exist in the first place. And under normal business reality rules, it could never even happen.
One of them.
But the horse was let out of the barn, really, for all this to happen when they basically created the Federal Reserve and moved to a dishonest money system, a fiat currency.
Agree.
That's when it all came off the rails, Patrick.
I would agree. Yep, I would agree. In fact, Jefferson has that wonderful quote about never having a national bank, for if we do, one day our Americans will wake up as paupers in the lands their forefathers conquered. We don't want that to happen, do we? I know a way to fix it. There's a way to fix it economically. I know the economists know how to fix it. And it takes biting a bullet. And you know what? This is going to sound crazy because there's got to be, I've said, so you may know that I'm friends with the sage from Omaha. Are you aware of that part of my life? Oh, Buffett.
Yes, uh-huh.
And he's been like a rabbi to me all my life, and I love him, and I know there's a lot of people on the right who don't, but he's been a wonderful friend to me all my life. And I said to him about 20 years ago, you know, the federal government's like a big insurance company that's being run on unsound principles and is going to go bankrupt someday, and you know, the rich are going to have to bail it out. And Buffett said, quick as a wink, he said, well, who's going to bail it out, Patrick? The poor? If the poor could bail it out, it wouldn't be the poor. It'd be the rich.
Ouch. That's an unfortunate reality, right?
Yeah. Except on the other hand, you know what? You know, it's got to go where the money is. But there has to be a quid pro quo. And the quid pro quo is, we've learned a lot over 90 years, especially over the last 50 years, 56 years of the Great Society. So you've lived in the Great Society. Has Johnson's programs built a Great Society for the poor in your mind? How well has that worked? You know, maybe it's time we redesign the whole system. We're not saying that there shouldn't be a social safety net, but we should redesign the whole system of taxation and social safety net. And the truth is how it should be done. I can tell you, my great mentor, Milton Friedman, he proposed this in 1965. You have a flat tax coupled to a UBI. Milton Friedman, who was the god of what people call right wing, he invented the UBI. He called it a negative income tax. You marry it to a flat tax, and I won't work through the reasons now. You super simplify your whole society, and you create the best safety net for the poor you ever had.
Yeah, there's only one problem with that. That would allow people to be free, and you wouldn't have to destroy their lives. Therefore, the whole communist socialist principle goes bye-bye. Other than that, it works.
Yeah. Well, and what the people are. Yeah, what do you think of? Have you ever dealt with these kinds of people in reality in your life, like on an extended basis?
Yes, they're impossible to deal with.
Well, they're little souls. They're little souls. I went to high school. And I have a great story. We don't have the time to tell it. But I went to high school with some people, two of whom were very, very sharp intellectuals and went off to Ivy League. One guy left, went to some community college, dropped out, started a little thing called Bethesda Cinema and Draft House. By the time we were seniors in college, that kid had made a fortune. But it's still an institution in Washington, this thing. It's a place where you have beer and you watch a movie. He made a fortune. Boy, you should have seen how bitter our friends from high school were towards him. How bitter those intellectuals
were. I'm applauding his effort, sir, and I think we need more of it, ladies and gentlemen. This is the United States of America. Should be a light on a hill. Sadly, it's not. We can change that. We need morality in the people. We need honest money. We need accountability in the media and election restoration. We got to get rid of the election integrity problem, ladies and gentlemen, with accountability and action. WeCanAct.net conference. Patrick Byrne will be speaking there. You got to go. WeCanAct.net. Put in the keyword liberty, all caps, and get $50 off per ticket. Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you so much, Sam.
There he goes, doing a phenomenal job as always. Patrick and General Flynn put together a real effort to make a difference, ladies and gentlemen. AmericaProject.com. Check it out. God save the Republic.